with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It's a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They got free delivery right here in the Elk City area. We'll tell you all about Paul Jones Drug as the show moves along this morning. What's on tap, man? Live Golf. Not going away. It's not going away, Jared. Causing all kinds of problems this week. Could the Open champ be headed to the LIV Golf Series inevitably? Maybe. The Ryder Cup captain is, or at least the European one, causing waves. And an announcer, maybe kind of everybody's favorite announcer, is headed. So we'll talk a little bit about that. College football, it appears, well, it is. There's not going to be a Big 12, Pac 12 partnership. We kind of kicked that around yesterday. Apparently that's not happening. There was some the Pac-12 is a dumpster fire. They don't know what they want to do.
Well, that's not new news, Aaron.
Well, I mean, just off the field, complete dumpster fire. They're bickering back and forth. Big 12's in a great position, and guess what? Some reports leaked out last night. They may have a TV home.
The Big 12?
The Big 12 may have a TV home. Hmm. It's a very interesting one. SI.com came out with an article yesterday, and it was a pecking order of the most desirable teams. Like, let's say the whole thing gets blown up and start from scratch. Pat Forty ranked the teams in order of desirability from 1 to 65, all the Power 5 teams, that is, from 1 all the way down to 65. So basically, if you were starting a brand new college football thing, and there was a draft, who would be, you know, what would be the order of the schools, in his opinion? So we can talk about that. I thought that was pretty interesting. I happen to 100% agree with him on number one.
You agree with Pat Forty.
I did, which doesn't happen very often. Also, let's talk a little bit about non-conference matchups. We're getting there, man. It's almost August. What are the best non-conference matchups in college football this year? Games that you can't wait to see. Then here at the top, MLB All-Star Week, the games tonight, Home Run Derby last night. We'll talk about that. And also, how interested are you in the new ESPN documentary about the captain, Derek Jeter? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. You can feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. The app's got it all. It's got three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News, a brand new edition of the Penny News. We'll hit the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. Also, of course, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Man, is there one heck of a schedule coming up on Big Elk TV for the Big Elks. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Schedule, which is going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. That's what we're excited about.
No doubt about it.
Ridiculously fun. Did I say it right?
Ridiculously fun. It's going to be good. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV as well. It's coming. August 26th is the first game. At home against Altus.
Renewing the series with the Bulldogs.
Yes. So Altus coming to town August the 26th. They'll be here before we know it. And, of course, Paragon TV, Merritt, maybe. I don't know what we can say there on maybe another football-playing school. So we're not going to – probably not yet. Not going to say that yet. But anyhow, once we get the okay, we will. So we're going to have lots of high school football. Of course, the high school basketball is almost a nightly occurrence throughout the winter months on Paragon TV. We've got Skinny on Sports podcast. Some of those from last week that I managed to actually save for the first time when Jared was gone. We have podcasts. Big shout out to my wife who would text me about 9:02 every day and say, don't forget to record. Sometimes, I guess on Monday, that was before the show started. On Tuesday, Wednesday, I had to run around there and have about 5 seconds of dead air.
I noticed.
Coming around. I couldn't figure out how to get everything all around there and keep talking, so I just went as fast as I possibly could. But anyway, we got the Skinny on Sports podcast there on iTunes and KADSAM.com. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I am wonderful. Hey, we're going to have to think of some questions, some trivia questions to ask our listening audience because we have some golf passports to give away.
Aaron, what's a golf passport?
Golf passport. It's got a koozie.
Does that mean you get to go golf internationally?
It means
it's
you
a passport?
It means you get to go play golf in multiple states around the area. Let's just dig into this puppy.
Oh, look at you.
And be able to tell you. It's got a koozie. It's got a order form for a golf passport next year. And it has golf courses in Arkansas, Illinois, Kansas, Missouri, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. Just thumbing through here, I noticed Angel Fire Country Club, one of golf course that you have played in the past.
And so people are going, okay, what's that mean? You get discounts on you present this passport, you get discounts. Like,
so for instance, right here,
give us an example.
Right here at the first. Batesville Municipal Golf Course in Batesville, Arkansas. Complimentary green fee anytime.
Whoa.
So you just go up to Batesville. You go, hey, check this out. I've got this golf passport. And you can do that twice.
Yeah, they have a little box, like a passport, like a stamp. So they'll just check it off.
Check it off.
And there you go. And you can do it twice. Could you use it for two people?
Yeah, a lot of times you get, it's like buy a green fee and a cart. Get the second one free. Get the second green fee free.
Yeah.
So basically, you take a buddy, and you know
Some of them have free cart. Some of them have half, you know, two for one deals, stuff like that. Yeah, like you
two for one green fee with the cart rental required. A lot of times, if you rent the cart, you get the green fee free.
You're gonna want this,
no doubt.
Because if you buy it, and still this is a good deal. If you buy this for the entire year, it's $49.95. But imagine how quickly you're gonna recoup that money. If you go to a place like that a couple of times, there's your $50 back.
All the state parks in Oklahoma are on here.
Yes.
Let's look here. Speaking of, Elk City's normally in this thing. And it is.
What do you got?
Elk City Golf and Country Club. Two for one green fee.
Perfect. Easy as that. That's awesome.
And 10% off in the pro shop.
It's a good deal.
So there you go.
Yeah, so we need to come up. We got, four of them?
We got four of them.
Want to give, like, one away today, tomorrow, get rid of them this week?
Yeah, probably so. Sayre, two for one green fee and cart. Let's see. Complimentary green fee with half cart rental over at Weatherford. Two for one green fee and cart at Riverside and Clinton. So, yeah, lots of cool stuff with golf passport. Yeah, we'll come up with some questions. Some trivia questions, see if we can't give these puppies away.
Okay. I'm going to find one. I'm going to find some good ones. Not hard ones.
Oh, no. Let's not make it easy.
Okay. I'm going to find some really hard ones.
I don't have to find just... Like, I can think...
I got a great one.
I can think of one, but if you watched the Home Run Derby last night, everybody would know. But it's pretty simple. I mean, it would be a simple one. Like, say, who's the only player in Major League Baseball history to win three Home Run Derbies? I kept referencing it. He was there last night.
Was it the kid?
It was. And it looked like the kid has grown into a kind of a fat guy.
He's retired. Give him a break.
I know. He just it was noticeable that young Griffey was a little bit bigger than his playing weight. Let's just put it that way.
I tell you what, I got a little excited last night.
Let's hear about it.
About just watching the Home Run Derby. You want to start there?
Yeah,
did you watch it?
I watched Pujols Soto semifinal. By the time I got home from the meeting I was attending, I watched the Pujols Soto semifinal, then I watched the final.
Pujols getting to the semifinal was
cool.
Fun. That was because you thought that was his swan song when he had just 18, in the quarters, and then he was able to get in that, what, hit off or whatever they call it, and get in. That was cool. But Juan Soto, that was fun. The kid from, help me with the name, who we went up against from Seattle.
Rodriguez.
There's the future
Julio
right there.
Rodriguez.
That's a future superstar right there. That kid's going to be really good. And speaking of Seattle, how hot are they right now? But Juan Soto, with his whole story of he's making trade deadline really interesting.
Hey, what did he turn down? $440 million? 15 years for $440 million?
Yeah, turned it down. They're going to trade him. And
I saw a trade. Have you seen the proposed?
I've seen the betting favorite where he's going, where he could be going.
I have seen.
What have you seen?
I've seen a proposed trade between the Nats and the Los Angeles Angels.
Okay.
It seemed ridiculous. It included
it's going to take a king's ransom to get
it. It included Ohtani and Anthony Rendon.
Oh, forget that. They're not letting that pair
That's
go.
What it included. And people
they
were
might,
just kind of giggling
they
at
might,
it.
They might. They just got Rendon, but he might be like, get me out of here. But, no, Ohtani's not going anywhere. Or Angels are not going to let him go anywhere as long as they have a say in it. No, I saw that the 10-1 odds of for Soto is going to the Rangers.
Really?
Yeah. And it was that was the betting favorite because they have a trade that works if they're willing to entertain it. They have a lot of draft capital and a lot of their farm system right now is booming, and there's talk of JD is willing to. Will and deal a lot of those guys in the farm system that would make it work for the Nationals. And those are from not just, you know, Yahoo's on Twitter. It's from insiders, people talking that are putting it out there as fact, as far as there is some rumblings there. So watching Juan Soto last night was fun for me.
Yeah, here's actually one of the Rangers beat writer or whatever that follows the team.
Okay.
He said, just so everyone knows my thoughts, I wouldn't trade for Soto if I'm running the Rangers. It'll cost too many great prospects and $500 million.
That was my thought.
This isn't basketball.
Yeah.
You need a complete team. Just ask Mike Trout.
That was my thought, too, was you're selling your future for what you would hope would be immediate success. I mean, this season already – a wash, wild card might still be in play, but they've Rangers play, you know, can win 4 out of 5 and then lose 6. But you know, you're looking at the future with what they got last year in the middle infield. I don't know. I mean, in the way they've been drafting, it's been pitcher, 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 pitcher. They're really trying to build up their pitching rotation. Yeah, so it would, like I said, take a king's ransom to get him. Realistically, we all know where he's going. He's going to go to a contender. I've heard San Diego in the mix. And then everyone looks at the Yankees.
And the Dodgers.
And look where he was playing last night. Maybe that's why he put on a show.
You know, I wonder if a trade is in the works and gets done before the trade deadline, how much that hinders some of those bigger teams. At least gives somebody else a chance is what I'm saying. Because if it ends up into a free agency situation, then there's only like 2 or 3 teams that'll be in the mix. And it'll be L.A., it'll be New York, and whoever else. You wonder about if the Yankees would want to entertain it just because of how they are rolling through the first half of the year. You know, you can always add, and a lot of times even the best teams will kind of do some adding and bolster what they got. But, man, you just – with the chemistry that those guys clearly have, and the way that the Yankees have been playing for the first half of the year, or you know, up until the All-Star break, you kind of wonder if they want to mess with that chemistry, or if just, you know what, let's let this roll because of how well they've been playing.
Right. But sometimes it has the opposite effect. Sometimes you can see that whole clubhouse go get that guy.
Right.
We want him with us. So-and-so's played with them, or these three guys have played with him way back in the day. So sometimes it does have that opposite effect, but it is it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I could see, you know, more than one team being involved with this to make it work. But that's why I got excited last night, because I saw from reputable sources that the betting favorite is the Rangers are getting them, followed by San Diego. And so that kind of piqued my interest watching the Home Run Derby. But going back to like watching Pujols, more 100% more than likely his last Home Run Derby, him to get to the semis was fun. I thought this Home Run Derby is going to be fixed if he gets to the finals. But it was fun to watch him because he thought he was done. He gave his exit interview and then I got to get back up. I gave away my batting gloves. I got to go find them. That was really cool. And he still had that sweet stroke, you know, when he got on a rhythm, you know, that one arm release stroke that's fun stuff that he's really good for baseball, you know, in his peak and his prime. And it's cool to see he's going to retire as a Cardinal.
Yeah. There was an advantage to hit it 440 twice.
Yeah.
And that was really something that it wasn't in his repertoire anymore. A little bit older. I mean, and you could see him. You know, everybody else got it down to about the minute and a half or a little bit lower than that on the clock. He was calling timeout at like minute 50, you know. And I think he probably, by the time he got done taking the second batch of swings, maybe regretted that just a little bit. But you could, you know, the age, I mean, it was a real thing, him versus those young kids.
Yeah.
As far as being able to have the stamina to finish. I saw this morning, did you know there's rules to this?
To the Home Run Derby?
To the Home Run Derby.
Well, it feels like they change the rules every year.
So, conspiracy, I don't know if it's – I read an article I read an article on OutKick, and they were talking about how the first round with Pujols and Schwarber, ESPN missed the count.
Yeah.
And it should have been tied.
I saw that too, but then I thought, well, was that an official – scoreboard, surely, you know, there's a guy with the clipboard and the headset on,
right,
you know, talking to the batters, or this is how much time you have, this is what went call time, all that stuff. Maybe he was like, I'm the be-all, end-all. I know what's the count is.
Right. And then in the finals, supposedly the rules state that once you hit a ball, you can't throw the next pitch until that ball hits the ground.
Oh, well.
Well, that clearly was being violated throughout the night.
It was boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Balls were still in the air.
You had to split
the
cam
whole time.
The whole time.
That's right.
Because, you didn't have time to go back and forth.
So there was I don't know if you'd call it controversy, but something there.
Well, my kid was like, okay, Dad, if someone wins, do they move on to state tournament? Do they? I mean, she was asking me all these questions. So, this is just for fun. It's an all-star break. It's just for fun. It's bragging rights only.
And it still is coolest. It's as much as maybe the Home Run Derby isn't quite what it was when you had, you know, back in the glory days of the 90s with Junior and McGuire and Bonds.
Sure.
Sosa creeping up in there toward the end of the 90s, early 2000s. It may not be that, but it's still to me, the coolest competition there is in any All-Star break. You know, three-point contest is clearly the better thing in the NBA, even though it's not the one that's most showcased. I mean, the dunk contest, you want to talk about jumping the shark, that happened years ago. Because they just can't figure out what to do that we've never seen, right? And I get that we've seen home runs, but it's still...
And the dunk contest is so subjective. It's like, well, you know, that's cool to me, but it might not be cool to the judge next to me.
Yeah, either you make this many threes... Or you hit this many home runs, but even in the 3-point shooting contest, a guy can make more and still lose because of the balls that are worth 2 points end of every rack.
Right.
Whereas in this, I mean, you might get an extra 30 seconds for pounding it out there further, but who doesn't want to see 440 to 480 foot home runs?
Right.
So it's like the advantages that have been installed into the home run hitting contest are things that everybody wants to see anyway. So it's cool. I love the Home Run Derby still, and the game itself, it's still by far the best All-Star game that's going. It's lost a little bit just because of interleague play, and there's the regular season has gotten better through interleague play. You get to see these matchups that you never would have ever got to see, but it's hurt the All-Star game. You know, back in the day before interleague play, you wanted to see Pedro Martinez mow through Sammy, Barry, McGuire, you know, because you weren't ever else going to see it but the All-Star game.
Right.
And as I heard the guys talking about it yesterday afternoon, as TV has become more of a thing, and obviously now there's the MLB package and you know, you can watch whatever, but like when we were kids, you know, you had a couple of games on ESPN, maybe one on the weekend. That's sort of it. And that was better than it was in the past. So a lot of times, you know, you wouldn't see a ton of these guys play baseball unless it was in the All-Star game. And I still think it's cool that they wear their own unis and they don't, you know, I just think all of that put together is really, really neat. And, you know, it's the closest to an actual game of any of these things. I mean, the Pro Bowl is a joke. the NBA game turns into a dunk fest into the last 2 minutes. This, from the word go, it's a real game. It's a normal game for the most part.
Yeah.
And that's why I think everybody still gravitates toward and enjoys the All-Star game. And then in a setting like Chavez Ravine out in Dodger Stadium, I mean, it's just awesome. It was cool last night.
It was very cool.
It was cool.
Did you miss – you speaking of being a kid, I remember as a kid I loved Home Run Derby for everything that we've talked about, but we're radio nerds, so did you miss Chris Berman?
Absolutely not. No.
No?
No.
I did not. I did. I still think it's shameful that how ESPN has just pushed him aside.
He built it. I mean, if there's anybody up there that deserves to do whatever they want to, it's him. Yep. And they let him do that for a long time.
Yeah.
Thank God he's off of their golf coverage. That was awful.
It's something about Home Run Derby and Chris Berman for me.
Yeah, I could do – that's why I probably enjoyed it more. I didn't have to hear that crap. I saw him on the set. What happened? They just shove him off to the side?
That's what I'm saying. He's never really gotten his due as far as he has done for ESPN. It's just like, okay, Chris, you know, we'll let you up here for 5 minutes and you got to leave. It's for me as a broadcaster, it's disrespectful.
Here's the thing, though. How do we know he's – because of what you just said, how do we know that's not his choice?
I know. There's something – I know. You're right. I don't know the whole story. But for what's in front of me, the way it looks – he's just, okay, here you go. Bye. Go. He's been loyal to the network since day one. He has never jumped the mothership and gone somewhere else or come back. He's always been there. That's just me. Anyways, it was fun last night. Watching the home run.
Are you going to watch, speaking of ESPN, did you watch the Jeter doc?
No.
You're not going to watch it?
One, it was a little later for me, but
right.
I'm sure you can go back and, you know,
oh, yeah.
It's going to be on ESPN Plus and Hulu and whatever. But no. And two, the way they market it is like, okay, this is from the producer of The Last Dance. Like, it's supposed to be as good. I knew immediately it's not going to be as good as The Last Dance.
It might be.
Did you watch?
No.
Okay. We always see this. Like, they try to ride the wave of something that was really, really popular. And then two, I just straight up hate the Yankees.
See, that's interesting because so do I. But... I mean, I'm not watching anything about Andy Pettit or any of the rest of them, but I'll watch something about him. There was always something about him that, even though you despised the evil empire and you despised what they were about, you had to enjoy what he was about.
He was legit.
No doubt about it.
When it, you know, his career was legit, he just played for the team that we all despise. But he wasn't a guy shrouded in controversy. He was a really, really good ball player and a really, really good guy from all I've heard. You've never heard anything shady about him, you know.
No, he avoided all the steroid controversy.
Yeah,
he avoided a lot of that stuff.
He did. So
I mean, when his only
I give him that.
His main transgression was off the field and the way that he was moving through the young ladies as a young man. I mean, okay, who isn't at that age? You know what I'm saying? I mean, but that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I know.
Normal human behavior is the only thing anybody could ever get on him, which goes to show in the spotlight that he was under in that city. That's all you can get on me, tabloids. Guess what? I'm a pretty good dude.
Yeah. You know who else like that? Then Joe DiMaggio running around with Marilyn Manson.
Not Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Got my Marilyn's.
The Mick.
Yeah.
The difference between him and the Mick was the Mick was married. Jeter wasn't.
Jeter wasn't.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's fine.
It's just a normal 23-year-old bachelor making multi-millions of dollars playing for the Yankees, leading them to titles. What's he supposed to do?
Sit at home by himself? Is this like a seven-parter? Like the...
I don't know. I just saw one, part one was out there today.
Hey, I got a trivia question if we want to do that when we get back.
Okay. We'll do it. 225-9698. First one to answer the trivia question gets them a golf passport on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Yeah! Coming at ya!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. You just heard from Rodney there on that ad. Thank you to Paul Jones Drug at 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in this town. They've got all that experience. I mentioned the free local delivery. They've got drive-through pickup, curbside testing and vaccinations, and long-term care unit packaging. They call them blister packs for those folks. Give them a call, 225-2121. It's Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. We'll tell you all about them throughout the show. Okay, Jared.
Yeah, speaking of
speaking of
golf and good golfers, Paul Jones and
Rodney.
Yeah. I witnessed that guy on Saturday. We were watching him play, and he hit it, his second shot going for the cup, and as soon as he hit it, you hear him go, ah! And he dropped it within like 2 feet of the hole.
Knew he pulled it.
Anywho, okay, we have this golf passport like we talked about. I got trivia question. First person to text in, 580-225-9698, wins this thing. And we get it. You're going to Google it. So first person to Google up the answer, here it is. Here's the question. What date and year was the PGA of America founded? What date and year, that's the key, what date and year was the PGA of America founded? I can't just take the year. We need the date, the exact date and year.
225-9698, text in the answer. First one, we'll get the golf passport. We got four of those, so we'll be giving them away all week long. Ouch, here's a meme I've just seen. It's got a count of rings, number of rings since 1997. Dallas Cowboys 0, J-Lo 6.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. That's funny.
All right, college football. All the rage throughout the offseason has been the conference realignment. Started this week of last year during SEC Media Days when it was announced that Oklahoma and Texas would be pursuing a membership into the SEC. Then right before Big 12 Media Days this week, USC and UCLA headed to the Pac-10. That's put a lot of different things and a lot of different balls up in the air for both the Big 12 and the Pac-12. They explored a partnership last night. They both agreed it's not going to work. So no partnership between – no kind of like a merger between the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Now, do you think that means that the Big 12 isn't looking to poach some of those schools? I say not.
You say they are not looking
to poach. No, they are absolutely looking to poach some schools.
They are.
100%.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and I didn't know anything about – you're going to talk about it a TV deal with the Big 12?
Could be in the works. It appears –
which would be very enticing for those schools from the Pac-12.
Sure,
it
would.
To hitch their wagon to that.
Yeah, and it does sound like there's three schools in particular on the Pac-12 side that are balking at the merger with the Big 12 and even Big 12 membership. I think probably have a little bit more of a wandering eye toward the Big 10 would be why.
Well,
and it's Washington, Oregon, and actually Utah. Throughout just kind of reading things and seeing fan opinion from the Utah Utes, pretty Arkansas-ish.
Overvaluing themselves?
Have a way higher opinion of themselves than I think what they're really worth.
Yeah. Utah?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Because you would think that they would be the perfect one of the four if Colorado wanted to come back, which – and if you either got – it appears that the Pac-12 schools out on the coast want to maybe make it more of a – even more regionalized with like literally the West Coast. So you're talking about like San Diego State, San Jose State with those coastal schools. That leaves the Arizonas and the two Arizonas, Colorado, Utah kind of needing somewhere to go unless Utah wants to stick out there. So, man, I would think it would be quickly after what happened last night with the not agreeing to merge. I think it'd be Arizona. Some of those, it shouldn't take any time for them to say, hey, Big 12, we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And get away from what that is. And
I still keep going back. I think I'm conspiracy here. I'm theorizing. I think there might be some kind of silent agreement amongst the rest of the Pac-12 schools to stick together.
Doesn't sound like it from last night. There was yelling and screaming amongst ADs and presidents in a meeting of the Pac-12. They are not on the same page.
Okay.
At all. And I think it stems from those California schools on the coast up to Oregon and Washington with kind of wanting to do their own thing. And that leaves out, I mean, I really think Arizona State in particular, we're going to see something quick where they're just, we're not going to do it. We're not staying out there. Now, here's the interesting thing. I mentioned the TV package.
Yeah.
I think if it may be a little bit contingent upon, you know, the Big 12 gathering up a few of those schools, but it does appear that an unlikely suitor has emerged in the TV network rights wars for what's left of what the Big 12 or the Pac-12 would be. And shockingly enough, you know who that is?
No, I'm trying to guess.
NBC.
NBC.
So NBC, obviously, Notre Dame home games, have had them for years.
Sure.
And Notre Dame is looking for a TV package from them in the $75 million a year range to stay at NBC and also keep their independence and still make the money that everybody else is going to be making. But NBC, I think, is not against that, but they also want to have more of a footprint. And when you think about not only big NBC, but also all the other ancillary sports channels and channels, that is, that NBC, you know, you saw this week, the British Open was on USA. They've got Peacock. You know, they've got the NBC Sports Network. There's all those different places where they can put content, college football content,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to one game every other week like it has been with Notre Dame. It does appear that NBC may be the most likely landing spot TV-wise for the Big 12. And that leads to, what does that do to the negotiations to expand the playoff from a TV perspective? Adding one more mouth to feed in that. Or does that help? Does it help spread it out enough to where now you can get a little bit more of an agreement, because it's not just ESPN versus Fox battling.
Right.
Now you throw NBC into the mix, and maybe that can kind of spread the wealth enough to where not only can the teams and the schools and the conferences agree, but also the TV people can agree.
It would help if there's more players in the TV deal other than just two big ones. Sure. Absolutely, it would help.
I mean, yeah. it's literally...
Is CBS just totally out of the running?
Yeah, I don't
here?
Know. That's where I thought would be a logical landing place because of what they're losing after this year with that SEC game of the week. Maybe they're just out of the college football business altogether. And maybe when stuff like this is put out there for a reason to get CBS involved.
Yeah.
And to keep NBC on the Notre Dame on the sidelines where they're at. Because I would think a big reason why NBC would want to do it is that they're not just in the Notre Dame business. They're in the college football business mm-hmm. then, and now that allows them to have more leverage trying to get some of those playoff games. I mean, following, it looks like it's going to follow a lot of what the NFL does. There's three networks, actually four, if you count ESPN for Monday Night Football. But for the main...
Are we counting Amazon?
Well, I mean, main TV, though, is what we're talking about. You know, you've got Fox, you got CBS, and you got NBC with the Sunday night game. And those are the three with the Super Bowl rotates between.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's kind of where we're headed here. Some sort of agreement where, you know, if it's an 18 playoff, first round games will be on one year, second round game, you know, and they just kind of float that around,
right.
or you have to pay more to be this or pay more to be that. But I thought that was interesting that that NBC could be in the running for that Big 12 contract.
Surprised nobody has jumped in. I mentioned Amazon. You know, ESPN, they're throwing a lot of games on their ESPN Plus. We're going to see that with, obviously, the OU deal when it goes into effect next month. I'm surprised no one like Amazon, or you mentioned Peacock, which would probably be a part of the NBC deal. You know, Paramount Plus, whatever. Mm-hmm. All those. I'm surprised they haven't jumped into this. Say, hey, look, we want a game of the week. We want to get some games on our platform on Saturday nights.
Yeah, I wonder how much Amazon paying for the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, they're already getting Herb Street in there.
Right, and what they've got left. Or maybe even it's just kind of a wait and like a see what's going on NFL-wise. How do we do? You know, what do we need to improve or whatever before they jump in with both feet? Now, that's the TV side of it. Pat Forty he came out with these rankings on SI. It's the Power 5 desirability rankings. And what he did was just simply rank all 69, actually. He counted Cincinnati, Houston, BYU, those teams that are moving into the Big 12, right?
This reminds me of an episode of South Park where the girls had a ranking of all the cutest boys uh-huh. to the least cutest boys.
That's what we're doing here. That's exactly what we're doing.
It's like Kyle got on the very bottom, and he was so depressed.
Cah.
Oh, Cah. So, Cartman was so happy he wasn't last. He was like second to last.
I mean, she's clearly last in any of those, but the girls got that one wrong. All right, so who do you think is number one in the country?
Most desirable.
And now here, let me give you five criteria.
Okay.
How good their football team is, how good their school is,
okay.
how good all of their athletic program is, what's their football attendance, and what's their viewership on TV?
Well, that just screams Alabama.
Alabama is not even close
to
number one.
Wow. 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 Let's go Ohio State.
Ohio State, number one. Second in football, 20th in academics, fourth all sports, third attendance, tied for second in viewership points. Total of 31, and the lower the better. Number two.
I'm going to keep saying Alabama.
You're going to have to keep saying it for a while to change.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Academics hurt them big time, and their all-sports program hurts them big time.
Yeah, I mean, outside of football, what's next?
Softball, maybe.
Softball, yeah. Maybe basketball in a good year. Number two, I'm racking my brain. Can you clue me into a conference?
Big Ten.
Stay in the Big Ten. Is it Michigan?
It is Michigan.
Okay.
Number three.
That academic thing is really putting a lot of weight on this.
Well, and here's the deal. Attendance and viewership is too.
Well, attendance when you have 100,000 seater.
There you go.
And that helps.
That's right. Number three.
Is it, dare I say, Texas?
Texas is fourth.
Oh, I was close. Number three, we'll do this all day. Who is it?
Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have known that.
Alabama, 10.
Wow. Well, again, that when you weigh in the academic side, let me ask you about attendance. Is it tickets sold or how many people stay towards the end of the game?
I'm going to say, just looking at who's where, I'm going to say it's probably...
Because Saban's had a big issue with fans leaving early.
I think it's probably people in the stands.
Okay.
Just looking, I mean, we all know kind of the top biggest. Maybe they just have it by possible attendance. But, I mean, I think you'd want people to be showing up in order for you to get a high score.
Oh, yeah.
So it may be one of those, okay, percentage of seats filled and, like, Michigan's number one in attendance. Well, they got the biggest stadium.
Yeah.
So if they're 100% capacity, then nobody can beat them, right?
I mean, after Notre Dame's expansion, how much?
They're 16th in attendance.
16th in attendance?
Mm-hmm.
I was curious how big their stadium, how much their stadium holds. It's not obviously not as big as Michigan, but it is bowled in. They added to their press box?
Yeah, maybe the press box. So it's got Texas 4, Georgia 5, Florida 6. That one surprised me a little bit. To be that high. Wisconsin surprised me a little bit to be seventh. But here's the deal. Those Big Ten schools are so massive.
Yeah.
Like in enrollment that, you know, there's so much alumni that comes along. OU 8th, USC 9th, and Alabama 10th. You have to go down to 25th, tied 25th, Oklahoma State and Miami. So that's, you know, that's something to think about, because when you look at schools that are still available, let's say, that are in the market. Obviously, Notre Dame is at the top of that list, but if they're trying to stay independent, then you have to go down to Washington as the next best, according to Pat Forty at least, next most desirable team, followed by Clemson, then Stanford, then Florida State, then North Carolina, then Oklahoma State. So that would make you feel pretty good as an OSU fan thinking forward about even expansion past just the new Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Make you feel pretty good, I think,
yeah.
to where that would be and how you would be in that pecking order of teams. You'd have to think that, you know, if there's eight more, then you're right there in that mix to be one of those eight. So
yeah.
I thought that was an interesting list to take all those things into account, you know, and viewership was a part of it as well. You know, who has this has to – I don't know how they rank – I don't know how they do this number, but Oklahoma was number one in viewership.
How do they do that?
Let's see. Actually, I can probably tell you.
I have no idea how they do rankings anymore or ratings anymore.
Okay, this was the total number of football games that drew 1 million or more viewers. So the program with the most games that reached the 1 million benchmark was OU from 2017 to 2021. They tossed out 2020 due to
sure.
You know, the huge disparity in the numbers. And so what it means is, we've all talked about how huge TV markets seem to matter because of eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
You think it helps who they, like, you know, they bring in a bunch of eyeballs, but who they play.
Of course it
does.
You
know, Joke Siglione and OU, they schedule marquee games year in, year out. So people people wanted to see OU Nebraska last year, and people want to see when they played Tennessee and Ohio State.
Well, they've had players that people want to watch with the two Heisman Trophy winners in Mayfield and Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been good. They've been on the national stage. But what one of the teams that was when the first expansion was happening or whatever, you know, Rutgers, for instance.
Yeah.
They got to move to the Big Ten. And a big part of that was, oh, you get the New Jersey TV market.
Sure.
It's a huge market into New York City. You get all of that. They're 67th on viewership. So, sure, maybe you get that market, but what if nobody cares?
Right.
And is that what's happening here for the Big Ten again out in L.A.?
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah, you've got the L.A. market.
Does anybody
nobody cares.
Care? Yeah.
Nobody cares to watch, but you got – but at the same time, is it just having that market and the ability to have that market all that really matters – when you start talking to advertisers, hey, we've got this many eyeballs that are possible.
Right.
And they don't really look into, oh, well, Rutgers is 67th, tied 67th, which I think is last.
Did you notice, speaking of the L.A. market, did you notice last night at the beginning of the Home Run Derby player introduction, they kept doing flyovers of the stands and how many empty seats there were at the beginning?
It starts at... It's hard to get there, man, with the traffic.
I guess the traffic, and it was, what, 5 something
5 o'clock
there,
out there, yeah.
So maybe they were still rolling in.
Yeah.
Okay. But my first reaction was, look at that. They can't even get there for the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
Out of the two events, would you rather go to the Home Run Derby or the game?
Game.
For me, it's the Home Run Derby.
I just think the game's cool.
I regret when the AAA All-Star Game was in Oklahoma City that I'd never went to the Home Run Derby.
Right.
Anyways, but
interesting.
Yeah,
let's talk about the non-conference games next.
Yeah,
Skinny on Sports coming back on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday, loud and clear in Hinton.
Yeah, so text us the answer here to this, to our trivia question for a chance to win a golf passport, because we still need an answer.
The golf passport
this
hasn't been flying off the shelves yet.
This is free. This is easy, easy prize here. Here's the question. What date and year was the PGA of America founded? Okay? Let me give you a hint. Google. 580-225-9698. First person that texts it in wins this. Also comes with a cool koozie.
Yes, it does. And who couldn't use an extra koozie?
We all love koozies, don't we?
We all do. We also, you know where you probably get koozies? Paul Jones Drug. They've got gifts and greeting cards. Most insurances are accepted. Convenience packaging. I know we harp on this each and every Tuesday, but how cool is convenience packaging instead of having the giant daily medical pill container, the plastic one? We all know it's multiple colors. It could be clear. It could be orange. It could be green. Sometimes red. Instead of having that, you've just got your pills packaged daily. You rip open the package, shoot them down your throat with some water, and boom, throw it away, and it's over. You do not have to keep up with that with the box of pills. You don't have to keep up with anything. It's right there for you. Daily individual packaging for your convenience at Paul Jones Drug. 809 North Main in Elk City. We thank Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug. We have a year.
I need a date.
We have a year on the golf passport. There it is. April 10th, 1916. Is that correct?
I wish we had this sounder. Ding!
We got it. Oh, April 10th, 1916.
April 10th, 1916.
Dakota was at tick late.
Did we get, who got it in first?
It is.
You're on it.
Here we go.
It's slower on my end.
Oh my gosh, there it goes. The first one is right here. Is that Dylan?
We will respond after the show on how you could get your prize, which is real easy.
We had four people with the right answer.
Well, which one was first?
This one here.
Okay.
I think maybe Dylan. Maybe not.
Well, we'll figure that out. But we do have a winner, and we'll let you know who it is.
We do have a
winner. We will text you back.
Bill Farmer. There you go. Hey, told us himself.
Oh, very good.
Who it is. Congratulations. Okay. We'll get you that golf passport. You can come by and get it.
Yeah, just come by the studio.
Here at the studio.
220 South Pioneer.
All right, so let's keep on rolling with the college football non-conference games. I'm sure we'll talk about these multiple times coming up on the season. But there are some juicy matchups in week one, probably headlined by Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Or maybe you like Oregon, Georgia better.
Yeah.
Oregon, Georgia's got Dan Lanning coming home
to play the Dogs. Yeah.
I assume that one's probably in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Probably in Hotlanta. Yes, it is. It is. Seeing it right here.
Notre Dame, Ohio State, is that on campus in Columbus?
That is, I think.
I had this pulled up.
In.
And I've lost it.
It says at Ohio State. So I think it is in Columbus. I believe it is. Yeah, that one looks fun. The Oregon-Georgia one, man, you know what that does to me? That reeks of a blowout. So,
yeah,
it just does.
Utah versus Florida.
But Oregon-Georgia is in Atlanta. Utah-Florida could be good.
Here's one that I kind of like. Cincinnati and Arkansas.
Are we staying in week one here?
I think these are all week one until I get to Bama and Texas.
Cincinnati at Arkansas.
Florida State, LSU. That used to be a good one.
Man, who knows about that one?
Did you see Brian Kelly?
There's been so much overreaction when LSU wins that game.
Did you see Brian Kelly yesterday at SEC Media Days?
Did he still have his accent?
He has lost it.
Oh!
His accent is gone.
It's gone. I guess it only stays in Louisiana.
It's gone.
You have to check
it. He was actually asked about it. He was pretty funny.
What'd he say?
He just said it's not there. He's got a Massachusetts, Indiana, something else, Southern
and it's gone. Anyway, he said, but it might come back at some point.
Oh, my God.
Try not to, if you would, Brian. It was terrible.
Please.
It was terrible.
Just be yourself. The backyard brawl is back.
West Virginia and Pittsburgh.
That's always a nasty one when they play. Boy, we're staying in week one. Boise State, Oregon State does nothing for me. North Carolina, App State, no. Those are some of the week one highlights, though. But, yeah, the very first one. I mean, that's going to be a fun. Is September 3rd a Saturday?
Yes.
Okay. And OU plays in the afternoon. When does OSU play? They play on a Thursday. They open on a Thursday.
Yeah, I think they're
open
on
Thursday. So OSU will not be on that day. But and they play in the afternoon, so Oregon and Georgia will happen at the same time, but the nightcap, Notre Dame and Ohio State, sign me up.
Yeah, that'll be a fun
back-to-back. Might have to bust out a couple more TVs to watch all those.
That'll be a good one. I think one that's really interesting to me is Bama-Texas the next week.
Yeah.
Everybody expects that to be just an absolute thrashing. What if it's not? Talk about the hype train.
Yeah, even if it's close and Texas loses, we're going to get a lot of overreaction on that one, too.
Maybe the most important one.
It's crazy it's at 11.
Well, that's when people watch. You know what's – and I think those numbers that I talked about on the viewership prove that out. What has been the main topic of griping around here for the last 5 years?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. Yeah. OU games. Guess what? They're the most watched team in the country over the past 5 years. I am really interested to see, because this is a couple of teams that everybody thinks the NIL is going to help out. Which one of those it's probably not a fair fight for Miami yet because they don't have their guys in there with Mario Cristobal, but Miami and Texas A&M is interesting to me.
Huh. When is that one?
I think it's week two.
No, A&M is hosting Appalachian State.
Must be week three then.
It is week three.
Okay. Same week as OU and Nebraska.
Yes.
So Iowa State, Iowa is week two with Bama and Texas, and then Miami, Texas A&M is week three. I think that one's for two storied programs, those are huge games, meaning Miami versus Texas A&M and then Nebraska hosting Oklahoma. You know, Nebraska was 4-8 last year, had a terrible record, but if you go back and look at their results –
yeah.
With just a normal year in close games, they win half of their games, if not a winning record. I mean, they lost all those close games, one-score games. It was almost – it's hard to do what they did to be that terrible in those close games. I'm efforting their schedule here to go back a year. I mean, the Oklahoma game, a one-score game. And those two were almost the exact inverse of each other. Oklahoma won all those close games, except for Bedlam. And Nebraska lost all the close one-score games. Okay, they lost by 8 to Illinois. They lost by 7 to Oklahoma. They lost in overtime by 3 to Michigan State. They lost by 3 to Michigan. They lost by 7 to Minnesota. They lost by 5 to Purdue. They lost by 7 to Wisconsin. They lost by 7 to Iowa. And the Ohio State game was a 9-point game, just outside that margin. They lost them all. You know, they didn't win a close game. So just a decent day, a decent year in one-score games, and I think that matchup's a lot more juicy than what it looks like right now because of their record last year.
If Nebraska had won that game against OU last year,
who knows?
The trajectories would have been different.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Nebraska wasn't three and nine. Nebraska was not a 3-9 team last year. That's what their record was. But they were better than that. And guess what? Oklahoma wasn't an 11-2 team last year, but that's what their record was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the fortunes in those close games that totally were flipped for each one of those schools. So, that's anytime you hear those two names, Oklahoma and Nebraska, at least for people our age or older, that brings about all those memories of all those games from years past in the Big Eight. So, you know, that's always going to fire up the nostalgia in fans, even if the matchup isn't what you hoped it would be when those deals were signed way back when. So those are kind of some of the non-conference games. You know, one that's always important, at least in this conference, is Iowa State and Iowa. You know, it feels like when Iowa State can win that game, which they don't do it very often.
Yeah.
But, it's doesn't it seem like as the season moves
along,
you talk
about trajectories, yeah.
When they lose that game, even if they start kind of taking off, it's always, well, gosh, they couldn't beat Iowa. You know, and then right. And then that leads to the Big 12's not very good. Because look at Iowa. They're a two-loss Big Ten team halfway through the schedule, and they couldn't even beat the team that's right behind Oklahoma and Iowa State. You know, that it would sure help if they'd win that game every now and again, at least for the perception of what the league is down the line.
Well, maybe this is the year they actually do it because they lose, you know, Purdy, Hall, Kohler, even some guys on defense. So no one's expecting anything from Iowa State. Maybe Iowa's the same way. Maybe they're coming in thinking, we're hosting these guys. They're rebuilding. This is going to be a cakewalk. And Campbell pulls a rabbit out of his hat.
Could be.
As opposed to other years when they've had those guys the last couple years. And Iowa State's going in thinking, this is the year we're going to beat our rivals. And they couldn't get it done.
Mile marker 114 still got us.
Some kind of super antenna.
Of these games, is it Texas that could springboard the most off of a win?
Yes. Yes, that's
even
clear.
More so than Notre Dame?
Yeah. Yes. It would not, well, you're going to hear Texas's back chance if that happens, but it does mean that they're back, because then they can go and lose three or four more games in conference, but it would definitely springboard them to potential, not bigger things just this coming season, but the next season with what their recruiting is looking like right now. Like, okay, they finally got their coach. They got great recruiting class. They looks like Ewers, depending how he plays, is going to be good. And we all know about Robinson. Yeah, this is the big opportunity for them.
Yeah, and you would figure in a win, he would have to play great.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I probably agree with that. With maybe the one exception being Notre Dame because of Ohio State.
There is expectation for Ohio State. A lot of people are already putting them in the title game.
Sure. I may be one of them.
So if Notre Dame goes in there, goes to Columbus and plants the flag,
because,
sure.
Because what is the knock on Notre Dame? They've been really good. They were really good under Brian Kelly for all those years, and a huge win for Marcus Freeman right off the bat. And those days of us not being able to compete with the biggest boys are over. Watch this. We just went into the Shoe and beat Ohio State. It could be, that could be, but Notre Dame.
A la when OU went there and beat them, and
sure.
Look what happened afterwards.
But the difference is Notre Dame's been good. Notre Dame's been to the playoff. Notre Dame has been in the consciousness of college football fans throughout the season over the last decade. Texas hasn't. And so that's where I think you're right. The springboard for a team that needs that launching point is down there in Austin in week two.
If Texas can pull it off and win, springboard has been sprung. There you go.
That's right.
If Notre Dame goes to Columbus and loses, and say, well, Notre Dame can still run the table and be in that playoff conversation.
Especially if it's close.
Yeah.
And they don't just look outclassed.
Right.
It's going to be fun, man. We're almost there.
Yes, we are.
Did you realize that the who was it? The Bills and I can't remember the other team that's playing in the Hall of Fame game. They reported yesterday to training camp the rookies.
Wow. No, I did not.
Bills and the Raiders, maybe. All right, have a great Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Stay safe out there. It's going to be hot.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.